Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the program on the Press Box. Nick and myself till 4, Blitz till 7. Right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Astros opening up a 4-game series with the White Sox at the Juice Box. I hate that. At Minute Maid Park. All the local news people calling it the Juice Box when most of them don't go there or have never even been there, especially like the general assignment reporters.
Yeah.
Gets a bit annoying. Like calling Deshaun Watson DW4. We don't even know if he likes it.
We don't. But people love to come up with nicknames and get credit for it. It's more about getting credit for the nickname that you came up with as opposed to giving that person the nickname, I feel like. Isn't that how it works?
Yes, you go with the established nickname that has been already associated with said player, not one you thought was cute and created yourself.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so now we've talked about this before, and you know because of my previous background history with other employment, it's something that I have as a hot button. Where are you on local announcer that gets names wrong in sports reports?
Not good at all. If you're a local guy, it's one thing when you're national.
Local guy, but it's a guy that's an all-star caliber player that's competing with an Astro for an all-star spot.
Okay.
His name is Marcus Semien, not Marcus Simon.
Oh, is that what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the other thing that drives me nuts is like when you're doing highlights, especially if it's like high school baseball, but even college sports, college football, stuff like that. Major League Baseball, you can, or Major League Sports, you can accept a little bit because they're more household names. But if I go to you and I say, hey, Nick, last night, Humble Baseball played Clear Creek.
Yeah.
In the first inning, Taylor hit a single that Johnson wasn't able to field. Therefore, Robinson scored from third. If I'm the parents, I'm going, come on, man, this could be my kid's only chance to get some love. Give the name out.
Yeah, and there's different levels to it. Like, there was a local reporter who messed up Buddy Hield's name and called him Buddy Hield. I can't remember the name. I can't remember the reporter or the studio host. But
those
it
are
happens.
Little things that get to me. I mean, I even when I watch the Astros or the Rockets telecasts, and those are things that I catch along the way.
Well, like I'm going to the Yankees game, by the way.
When is that series?
That's my first appearance at Minute Maid Park since the pandemic will be at the Yankees. I got tickets to the Friday game. Homie.
Tickets? You're not going as a member of the media. You're going to just sit
and
enjoy.
I'm going to go get hammered.
Okay.
And talk mess to Yankees fans and pick fights.
Are you going to wear...
And throw uppercuts and not,
gonna
and not lose Aaron the fight.
Judge, you're going to wear your robe with your long white wig and your gavel and be Aaron, the judge guys?
I could.
Okay.
I could be the guy that what did the Yankee player do? He had a friend in the stands with an undershirt.
Oh, that was the Ranger. It was Adrian Beltran.
Oh, that's right. It was Beltran. That's what we should do. That's what I should do.
Well, if that's what you want to do, I mean, look, it doesn't seem to me that they need any help with anything assisting them offensively this year because they are ripping the cover off of it, and they did last night with 6 home runs. If you missed it, welcome back out from under your rock. The Astros 6 home runs. Took care of the Rangers, swept a 2-game series, continued to play winning baseball, and now we'll welcome in the White Sox, and Jose Urquidy will be on the mound tonight for said Astros. So there's that to get to for you guys to get onto the table.
People are like, let us know if that works out. I'm not going to go start fights at the game, but it's going to be a good game.
There's just been a lot of fan fighting in the last month.
I know, but when you look at the rest of the schedule in terms of games, like that has to be one of the hottest tickets left in terms of the remainder of the schedule. Like, who else are you going to go
absolutely.
Watch?
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think that everybody wants to see that. Besides that, the Astros lost the series in the Bronx. It would be nice to hand it to them here. And it would also be nice if, unlike Dodgers series, which they split, they actually lost because their fans got their ass kicked in their own building, that hopefully that they will, the fans will come strong and be able to be like, you know what, man? It's our territory now. So yeah, we can stop with all this trash can banging and all this other stuff.
And you're right, it would be nice. But inevitably, it will be a situation. Whether, regardless of the Astros win or the Yankees win, there will be some post-game fight at some bar near the stadium because of the game. It's going to happen.
Shout out to our man Lamont, who made mention of the fact that Vince Wilfork's son was evidently heading to your alma mater.
And they dismissed his ass when he got arrested.
You think he's as big as Vince? I wonder what position he played.
I don't know. That
Vince
is a good question.
Large dude. Remember, he was doing the HEB commercials afterwards, mm-hmm, in just the overall.
He's massive.
He's a large individual.
He's massive.
They're saying when I was reading one of the stories, they consider him one of the best defensive linemen of all time. Interior defensive lineman?
Vince Wilfork?
That he could make the Hall of Fame as an interior defensive lineman.
I can see him making the Hall of Fame. I just don't know of all. I mean,
I know he was good. Was he that good?
He had his moments with the Patriots, for sure. I don't know if he was that good, like, if he was perceived to be that way.
Evidently, he was perceived to be pretty good.
Pretty good. I need to watch an episode of that. By the way, guess who I learned is a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm as well? Charlie Palillo.
Oh. I knew you and Charlie had a lot in common.
We do?
Yeah.
Well, today we did have the talk show thing in common. Like, we both agreed that of the three names he listed in terms of late night talk show hosts, mm-hmm, Colbert, Fallon, and Kimmel, mm-hmm, that Fallon is the worst.
I disagree.
Really? I think his interview skills suck.
Okay, I get that. But I think just full entertainment value, I've always thought Jimmy Fallon is extremely talented.
I would say he's talented, but of the three, my order, like Palillo, by the way, was Kimmel, Colbert, and then Fallon. I just don't like the way he interviews people. That's my only issue with Jimmy Fallon.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Jimmy Kimmel, but I would reverse that and leave Colbert in the middle. I would go in terms of
Fallon one.
If you're saying overall talent as opposed, I get what you're saying talk show host-wise. I think talk show host-wise, Colbert would be number one.
Okay.
Just because of how he runs the whole show and knows how to ask tough questions interviewing. If you're going overall talent, I would go Fallon, Colbert, Kimmel. Although it could reasonably be because Kimmel has also hosted the Academy Awards and he's done some other things to show his versatility. I don't know all that Colbert can do. From a comedic standpoint, from a host standpoint, I would say that's Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, Fallon, Kimmel, and Colbert. But interview standpoint, running a late show, talk show, I think Colbert probably is the best.
Yeah. And the interview part, I guess because like when Arsenio Hall made his little comeback, I thought his show was absolutely terrible. One of the reasons why I thought his show was bad was because the way he interviewed people. Like, and I think Colbert, one thing that he does is that he doesn't necessarily have to know everything about you to make a very fluid conversation. You get what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't necessarily have to have a talk with you 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour before the interview just so he knows enough about you and conduct a good interview. I feel like he's a guy that could kind of roll with the punches and I could be wrong. Maybe he does, you know, an unbelievable amount of research and he's got producers on it and everything. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, from a conversational standpoint, I like the way he speaks. And I think he certainly does it better than Jimmy Fallon. Just from the conversational aspect.
Now, I go Fallon talent-wise based on Saturday Night Live, based on when he does the skits with Justin Timberlake, even on The Late Show, The Tonight Show. I like the fact that from a interview standpoint, Colbert, when he gets a big guest that's controversial, he's not afraid to ruffle their feathers and go attack. Kimmel's an overall entertainer. I get that. But I think he and Fallon both have the shortcomings of wanting to be their best friends instead of like getting interview content that's really going to be beneficial to the viewer.
It's Easterby-ish, honestly. It's Jack Easterby-ish when you're just trying to suck up to the guests so much to the point where you just want to make them feel good.
I get that.
feel so good about themselves. It's Jack Easterby-ish. It really is. You almost come off as a weasel when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that. I really like Colbert, and I didn't think I would when he got the job. I think he does really. I think he's very entertaining.
No, he's funny for sure. He's quick-witted too. You can appreciate that. I think he's more quick-witted than Jimmy Fallon as well. So I can appreciate that for sure.
Yeah, I could see where you guys are going with that, but that's why I just appreciate the correlation between you and Charlie. I think next week if you come in with snuggly tennis shorts and some mall walkers, I think that maybe you guys will finally be making up some ground to being the friends.
I'm never going to wear mall walkers. You made fun of his mall walking shoes yesterday.
I made fun of the fact that he changed them. I was watching the news the other day, and they had several prisoners from one of the local prisons, and to go with the orange jumpsuit instead of like the sandals they give them or whatever they give them for shoes now, they've now turned the page, and they're giving them boat shoes with no laces or anything. They're slip-on like Vans, van-looking shoes, navy blue with white soles. And I looked down, and Charlie happened to be wearing maybe a little too high white socks with
those prison shoes.
With the blue prison shoes. I go, Charlie, been to prison lately? Ah, no. Why would you ask that? I go, because you're wearing prison shoes.
Well, there's no way Charlie's ever going to evolve from the tube socks, I would imagine. Like, he ain't wearing no ankle socks or anything like that. He's not wearing skinny jeans and modern fit. He ain't doing that.
I explained to him why, and then he was okay with it. I said, I didn't realize that suddenly something changed somewhere in the prison system where now they're issuing them somewhat hip blue slip-on Vans almost.
Good for him. Sometimes he looks like he lives in 2021 with the way he dresses. And then sometimes, Palillo.
I thought you meant a prisoner because I've never seen that in Charlie.
Sometimes he does. Like he dresses like he lives in 2020, like he's alive in 2021. And then sometimes he looks like his, you know, it's 1998 and the shirt looks like it just came from, I don't know, wherever he bought it from, Mervin's or whatever the hell he bought it from.
No, he probably never bought anything because most of the stuff he's got, he's been given. The polo shirts of the Dynamo, the polo shirts of the Rockets, whatever bowl game it's being called this year down at NRG Stadium, when they give you the T-shirts and the golf shirts, he still got those. And if you never change, I mean, to his credit, he still has the prepubescent weight and height that he had when he was 14. So if you don't grow out of your clothes and they don't get holes in them or get worn out, well, then why not keep them?
Yeah.
What's old is new again. It could be out of style, and by the time he figures out that it's still in the closet, he can wear it, and it'll be back in style.
It's like you with your golf shirts.
Well, I've told you that because golf shirts never go out of style.
Exactly. So if he never changes in size,
wear them every day.
I don't.
When I was,
but you said you're adamant about not getting rid of them, though.
But when I was golfing four times a week, I was wearing them all the time. But I don't believe in just throwing out brand new golf shirts for no reason.
Agreed. I'm with you on that. I don't really wear golf shirts, so I can't relate. I wear them. I've worn them before, but not as many. Like I don't have as many as you do.
I've told you why. We're not getting into that. All right, we've got lots more to get to on the program. I still want to get to this story. This guy and his wife have 10 kids all at the same time, or so he thinks. And people decided that it was a big enough deal that they should just start sending him cash. Why? And then he even had issues. We've got issues with that. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. But it seems to be a thing, Nick, because in other countries, it seems to be that some people are living a pretty good life with the amount of wives and children that they're stacking up on their resume.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about that in the final hour of the program and so much more. By the way, if you're interested in trying to continue your sexual behavior way past your given age and feel like you felt in your 20s, there's a way that you can do that and so much more. It's Apollo Men's Health with two locations located nearby downtown Houston. Dr. O and his staff are going to do wonders for you, whether you just want more energy in the boardroom or you want to be able to do more in the weight room or you need a little help in the bedroom. They can help you with all those things. Men and women are finding out through hormone therapy that they can feel like they felt in their 20s all over again. They can get you help in so many ways, from getting on a full workout program and doing a body composition analysis to recovering quicker after lifting weights by doing HGH peptide therapy. And the great thing is at Apollo Men's Health, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted and military personnel and first responders get discounts. They take care of Houstonians on a daily basis. So set up your first appointment today. Go to apollomh.com. It's a very simple process. And when you set up that first appointment and you mention ESPN 97.5 and my name, Joel Blank, you're going to get a free B12 shot just to start it off on the right way. Then tell them what you're after. Tell them what you're trying to do, and they're going to tell you all that they can do for you. It's simple. Be honest when you answer their questions, and they'll get you results. Check them out today. It's ApolloMH.com. You'll be glad you did, because it's good people doing great things. It's the people at Apollo Men's Health.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the program, it's the Press Box on a Thursday with Nick and myself on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Little programming reminder, we will be doing the show tomorrow. We will not be in studio. We'll be at the Heights Hotel, us and the Blitz. So stop by if you're in the Heights area and see us. We'd love to interact with you as we do what we do. So that'll be great. Also great is a shout-out to Chris Smith. You may not know him as Chris Smith, but you do know Frankie's Pizza Kitchen or Frankie's Italian Kitchen, which is now Frankie's Pizza Kitchen, which regardless of what you call it, don't be late for dinner because they're fantastic. The food is phenomenal. They just brought us some, and
The food looks amazing. I haven't tried it yet, but it looks amazing. He says they don't mess around with them fake mozzarella cheese sticks. They get fresh mozzarella.
It's like a patty almost. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And looks delicious. He said you were fixated on the balls, and he said that their balls are fresh daily.
He did not say that.
Their meatballs are made fresh daily with multiple sauces, Nick. Frankie's Italian Kitchen is in the Katy Fulcher area. All freshly made Italian dishes, the finest available ingredients, and that pizza. Don't forget that. You can dine in, take out, or let them cater your event. It's very affordable. It's good with families and children. Chris Smith, the owner, go see them. Tell them ESPN sent you by. But
I'm going to try a little bit of everything, but I'm certainly trying the balls for sure.
You're going to go balls deep with balls in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a Friday, but it's only a Thursday.
Breaking news.
Breaking news from Woj. It's a Woj bomber. What is going on with the Dallas Mavericks?
I don't know, man.
A day after they announced that 24-year vice president or president of basketball operations and former general manager Donnie Nelson was gone, now Rick Carlisle is too. The coach that led the Mavs to the 2011 NBA championship informed Mavs owner Mark Cuban he's not coming back. He had 2 years left on his contract. He was there for 13 years.
I have respect for him as a head coach. It does make me wonder what type of friction, if any, is in the front office. There's a lot of people saying, man, this team is just collapsing. I don't think it's that bad. I still think Mark Cuban is a good owner. You still have a great heart in your roster in the form of Luka Doncic. But clearly there's some disagreement in philosophy at the very minimum. Otherwise, this would not be happening in Dallas. There's no way.
There's something really fishy going on. Now, we told you yesterday as part of Donnie Nelson stepping down or whatever the case may be where they parted ways that Cuban had hired a guy that was a former gambler to be on his staff that Nelson found out was reporting directly to Cuban, sidestepping any reporting to Donnie Nelson and talking directly to Rick Carlisle. This sounds like Carlisle was more of a Donnie Nelson guy than a Cuban guy. But I remind you that at the end of the year when the Mavs were eliminated by the Clippers, that they asked Cuban, would you be firing Rick Carlisle or is he on the hot seat? And Cuban was adamant in saying, a lot of times you find out when you try and find somebody else that the guy you had was better than who you hired. So we're not doing that and Rick's coming back. Evidently now he's not.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. And there's a good question for you on the Twitch by Old Rockets G.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd, next Mavericks coach, Blinkers? That's actually interesting.
It's a good fit from the standpoint of former Dallas player knows Mark Cuban. I don't know if it's because
that's right, because he played prior to Mark Cuban's ownership. He played in Dallas prior to Mark Cuban's ownership.
He was with the Jamal Mashburn, Jimmy Jackson that Tony Braxton blew up. But, and from a point guard for Luka Doncic, you got to make the right hire here because it's just like we were just talking about with the New Orleans situation, Nicholas. If you have aspirations of keeping Zion Williamson in New Orleans, you better get the right coach this time because you messed it up for 3 straight years. If you're Mark Cuban and you know what we've seen about all the different turmoil that can be created when a superstar doesn't get his way or doesn't feel like he's being treated appropriately, latest even being Damon Lillard,
yeah,
you better be consulting with Luka Doncic And you better be damn well aware of what he wants to do, because you don't need him leaving town.
But look, and this goes to your point about what you've been making about Luka and how you should cater to him because he is the team and he is a star. 2 years left on your contract, Rick, and you give up coaching a player like Luka? That's a really weird decision. So not only, now obviously he has money, so maybe he doesn't care. But even if I had money, I'm not giving up on 2 years remaining left on my contract. And I'm not giving up on the fact... I'm not giving up on the fact that I want to coach a guy like Luka.
That's a good point. But to your first point, I will bet you whatever you want to bet, Rick Carlisle is coaching an NBA team when the season opens up next season.
I believe that, but right, you have a very young player who's probably going to be a part of the team for the foreseeable, what, 5-6 years at least, probably, unless he's not happy with his next, with the team after his first contract expires and he goes and go somewhere else. I don't see that being the case, but maybe it is. Why would you give up on coaching on someone like Luka? I mean, there has to be something that's going to come out later.
Maybe this gambling guy is not someone that you like and trust. Maybe you don't like behind the scenes how Cuban and management are running things. You know how it can be when a meddling owner gets to be too much because you know that the decisions they're making aren't conducive to a winning environment long term. I'm just throwing things from my own personal experiences out there to which... It can let
and
you
that
ask
very
why,
well
and I'm trying to give you answers.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be interesting. Now, you got Zion without a coach. You got Luka without a coach. You got Damon Lillard without a coach. If you're in the market to be a head coach, this is your year. Because you're going to get a good player on a lot of these teams. You got the Celtics with two great players without a coach.
So that makes it six. Is that six?
Six, I think. Total.
Yeah.
Indiana, Boston, Dallas, New Orleans, Portland.
Who D'Antoni might get that gig?
Who am I missing? There's one more.
Washington. Brooks. Yep. Yeah.
And I don't know that I want that gig because Beal's going to leave and Russ is...
I don't want that gig either.
That's the one I might... Although they got some good young talent on that team. So there's six now NBA teams looking for a head coach. Luka Doncic, according to Tim McMahon from ESPN, is a big fan of Jamal Mosley, an assistant coach for the Mavs.
Okay.
Doncic said he's got the things that are needed for a head coach. He can be the head coach for sure. At least I'm interviewing him if I'm Mark Cuban, knowing that if Luka likes him, I'm talking to him. That All you right. have to.
Let's try some local food and give away some local boxing tickets. How about that?
Sounds like a plan as we continue. I still got this story. I got two of these stories.
Oh, we haven't got to that one story, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got one situation with 10 kids in the mix that were just born, we think. Got another situation where a guy bows out, but before he does, he puts together quite a track record in terms of conquests. So we'll get to that situation. I know you're not big on kids, Nick, but the process is something that I think you like. No, he shakes his head. All right, half hour to go in the program. When we come back. Stay right where you are. It's the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Boy, there's a lot of good feedback right now on this Maverick story we're going to get to in a minute. Again, another shout-out to Frankie's Italian Kitchen for bringing us some quality grub. Their homemade mozzarella, it's like a patty.
Oh, it's good.
Woo, good.
The meatballs.
How are the, you were definitely all over the balls during
and
the break.
And the marinara sauce. He even has a homemade ranch, fresh ranch.
Different than your homemade ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is less spicy, I take it. Great, great food. And you can go, it's Katy Fulcher area. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, but check them out because it's all fresh, made from scratch. It's phenomenal food. So appreciate Chris Smith, the owner, dropping it by and hoping you guys stop by and support.
No, he took the time to explain it. Chris says all, like the meatballs, the ranch, everything, the spicy ravioli, the spicy cheese ravioli, which is on point. I dipped that in the marinara sauce as well. Very, very good. Also
Double
the
dip.
Beef ravioli. Yep, I did.
Oh, did you? And did you put the marinara back out there when you were done with it?
No, I didn't. I just kept it for myself.
Okay.
Was I supposed to share?
Someone's big on Pittsburgh Timmy's grow a pair, so they're asking me if
the they call was not even that good, bro.
It was terrible.
It was not even that good of a call.
If you want to ride that train, go ahead. Now, this is an interesting tidbit sidebar to this whole story on the Mavs, too, Nick. If Steven Silas doesn't get the Rockets job,
he should go for it. He should totally
leave. Is he the next coach of the Dallas Mavericks?
He should leave.
Because Luka sang his praises left and right.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
Well, he can't now. He's under contract unless he walks away from the Rockets game.
Well, the only reason why he would walk away is because Dallas, for some reason, really, really wants to.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get like a handshake deal from Mark Cuban. So I promise you, once you opt out of your contract, I'll give you a deal. I don't think that's going to happen for Silas, unfortunately. As much as I love him as a head coach, we all know what the deal is with the Houston Rockets and Silas. All right. He is the he's the Band-Aid coach. All right. Let's be honest.
He's a bridge over that doesn't mean troubled fodder.
That doesn't mean he doesn't know anything about basketball. It doesn't mean he's a bad head coach. But we know the situation.
Everybody asking again, we're at the Heights Hotel tomorrow. Heights Hotel.
Be there.
Pink Valkyrie asking as if she's a loyal listener. So we got that. I got to get this story out because this is crazy. So this guy and his wife. She's pregnant. She's big as a house in some of the pictures that they post.
Okay.
Okay. 10 kids. She has 10 kids. Or, Nick, so they think. People set up a GoFundMe when they knew that she was about to give birth, and they knew that she was expecting 10 kids to break the record set by Octomom.
Correct.
For the kids. His wife, 37-year-old, Gosiami Sithole.
Whoa, she's 37 and she's having these kids?
10 like kids.
10 at a time at 37?
Here's where it gets a little shady. So they set up the GoFundMe. He got $70,000 in it. According to the New York Post, he's now asked them to stop sending money. So why, you ask, as I did, as I inquiring as a mind wanted to know and looked and delved deeper. Well, as it turns out, since she left the house going into labor and supposedly headed to the hospital, he has yet to see his wife or any of the 10 kids.
What? And I saw the picture that you're talking about, calling her as big as a house.
She's big as a house.
I've never in my life seen a pregnant woman that big. Ever.
Exactly what I mean.
Ever in my life.
Right. It wasn't meant
to be. I thought you were exaggerating.
No, I wasn't trying to like poke fun at her or anything. She was.
She's massive.
Yeah. Yeah. So he said, I appreciate the financial support that we've been getting from members of the public, but I also would like to appeal to the public to stop making money deposits into our accounts until members of the community and I have seen the babies.
That's so weird.
Very, very strange.
I can't wait to have them in my arms, he previously told local media. This is in South Africa.
If ever he has them in his arms again. This time he'll hold them forever.
Why put the pause button on the GoFundMe? I'm not following.
That's
that.
What I'm thinking too. Like, why don't you just keep the love coming?
Because yeah.
I may be single in a few days here, and I might need all the cake I can get to reestablish myself as a single man, knowing that my wife either skipped town or was snowing me the whole time.
And look, I'm pretty sure they're going to need an enormous amount of diapers, like a crazy amount of diapers. But still, bring in the money. Accept the 20s, the 10s, the 5s, the 1s, whatever you can get, bud.
No, that was in Cape Town, South Africa. And so I wish him the best because I don't anticipate or wish on any father-to-be that if you are anticipating the birth of your first child or 10 children, that you don't want the rug pulled out from under you to find out that it was all for not.
God, I don't know how I would react if there was that many babies in my tummy. I don't know if I would.
I don't think you have to deal with that.
I don't.
But I think the bigger issue is the tragedy if it wasn't, if it's not legit. How do you do that?
How do you produce
10 kids?
And why 10?
Jeez. Hey, Nick, it's your chick. She's pregnant with a kid. Not 10, with a kid. I don't know that I got to go all the way to 10 if it's all like made up.
Yeah, I think one is enough trauma.
Right?
I don't. Physical and mental trauma.
So that would have broke the record. 10 kids at one time in one pregnancy. In India, the head of the world's largest family, Ziana Chana, passes away. Wait for it, Nick, because this could be your future. Part of it, anyway. Leaving behind 39 wives, 94 kids.
Wow. What was this, Evander Holyfield?
I mean, Sean Kemp? I don't know, but you're spraying a whole lot of bullets. There's a whole lot of steelheads swimming upstream and doing good work. 94?
Phillip Rivers has like a quarter of the amount of kids you have.
Yes. Phillip Rivers has, what do they say? Does he have a baseball team? Like
10 or 12?
He has at least nine,
is it in the
right?
double digits? It may not be in the double digits. It might be nine. Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. I don't remember. I know he has a lot of kids.
He lived with his family in vast poverty with around 100 rooms. Well, evidently he was doing room service on a nightly basis, because no matter how many rooms there were, he found his way into 39 wives and 94 kids. And there are pictures to back this up.
Now, JD on Twitter, well, of course he's going to tweet this. I just realized I'm talking about Mega Blast.
Right.
10 kids. Hey, lady, it's a uterus, not a clown car. That's not very nice, Mega Blast.
This is the other kicker on this whole story, Nicholas. There's another number involved, too. 39 wives, 94 children, 33 grandchildren. So the work just kept continuing on, even after he was all said and done. Now, here's the kicker. All of them lived together in a four-story pink house with 100 rooms. Four stories, 100 rooms, and they're all living there.
Imagine being the friends of these people. Do you have to give a gift for like a baby shower gift or like a gift for each one of these? How does that work? Can you just give one gift for all 10 kids, or do you have to give a gift for each kid? Because some of these might be boys and girls. Like Mr. Gray on Twitter says, are we reading the updated story? Because apparently it's 7 boys and 3 girls, and she already gave birth.
Of the 10 in the first story?
Correct.
Okay, so at least they found her, and they realized that there are legitimate kids.
I'm not giving you 10 gifts. That's your fault for having 10 kids.
I think you got it.
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to be your friend anymore.
Well, you're evidently in their mind. Let me tell
you
something.
If you have
either.
10 kids at one time, you and I are no longer friends. We're not going to be friends.
Oh, so that's how cheap you are.
10 kids? How much money do you think I have? What do you mean 10 kids? You want me to give? Okay, let's go back to the average cost per gift. We said what? 20, 30, 40 bucks?
That's for a birthday kit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was for the birthday.
That was a birthday gift. But, I mean, that's if a different you're going to go for the birth of a child, I would still say it's got to be in the realm of that ballpark.
Look, if I had 10 kids and you didn't want to be my friend anymore, I'd understand.
Well, if you didn't give me a gift, you wouldn't be anyway. So this dude was 76 years old when he passed away. But here's this is how shady some of these groups can be. He was the leader of a Christian sect named Chana, founded by his father in 1942, with a current membership of hundreds of families. He married his first wife when he was 17, claimed he once married 10 women a year. Well, to get that kind of quota up, I'm pretty sure you got to do some work.
Yeah. I mean, you can't multiply like that unless you, like you said, do some work. 10 a year? That's a lot.
He shared a dormitory. The women all shared a dormitory near his private bedroom as he was making his way up in the world. He liked to have 7 or 8 of them by his side at all times. Like, this is the kind of crazy cult you can figure out. Yeah. And you get people to buy into this.
I can understand 2. But why you need 7?
There's 167 members of his family. Think about what Christmas is like. I mean, you better have damn well a redwood for a Christmas tree to put all those gifts underneath it. Stockings hanging by the fireplace? Are you kidding me?
That is way too much, man.
They called the Astros in search of the silver boot, and if there was 2, because they need all the shoes they can get, too. Unreal. I mean, 167 members of a family all basically started by one dude and one set of family jewels. And you're more worried about the 10.
I don't understand why anybody just wants to have that many kids. I don't understand. Isn't the world overpopulated anyway? Like, why do you want to have that many kids?
I don't understand why you cut off people sending money to you regardless.
That I definitely don't. You're not. If I'm having 10 kids, I'm not putting a pause on the GoFundMe account. That's a lifetime thing.
At no time ever would I have seen myself in a position with that kind of situation to look forward to going, yeah, we don't need any more money. Mouths to feed, diapers to put on, as you mentioned. Formula to get. Yep. You not, keep sending it.
No, I'm not. I'm not stopping that at all. Any free gifts or money, just keep on sending it this way, homie.
No question. I agree with you. By the way, Dream Shake, great call. Rick Carlisle goes to Boston. I could see that.
Again,
was a player there.
Why are you leaving Luka behind, homie? I don't get it.
There's
I want
to
know.
There's something more to it. There's something we're missing. There has to be. All right, well, what isn't missing is the final segment of the program. We'll find that and get it for you next. Then we'll take you right up till 4 o'clock. Then the Blitz with Fred, Aaron, and AJ. Take you all the way home till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we know the deal. We've been talking about it all week. Saturday, June the 19th, Houston's hometown undefeated WBC Middleweight World Champion, Jamal Charlo, taking on hard-hitting Juan Macias Montiel live from the Toyota Center. Right now, your chance to win tickets. We're going to give you and a guest a chance to go to the fight live. Caller number 10 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 10, 713-780-ESPN. You get two tickets to catch the fight live, and you get all the action in person. If you don't win them, you can get them. ToyotaCenter.com or AXS.com. Be there one way or another and support the hometown hero. Good luck, caller 10. All right, so we've got one segment to go on the show. People still astonished by the numbers that we just put out there in these two separate cases of individuals that, shall we say, got their fill. One father expecting 10 babies in one pregnancy, and another who bows out at 76. 39 wives, 94 children, 33 grandchildren. Those are numbers that I don't think anybody expects to put up at the end of their resume. But for whatever the case may be, I guess, tip of the cap to them.
Agreed.
That is a worldly achievement.
God, I'm still disappointed in Spader.
Yeah, we got off of it to have some fun on some other topics today and also cover a lot of local sports. But I am grossly disappointed in Mr. Ryan.
If you see him in the public, are you punching him?
No, it's not Bill O'Brien or Jack Easterby level, but very disappointed because this could have been what we all needed. This could have been the answers to all the questions and to put to rest for once and for all of the innuendo about who was and wasn't sign stealing and all these other things. So I am extremely disappointed by what happened there.
Well, let me play this clip, and then you can read the tweet, or I can look it up, about him retracting all his statements. This is what he said on the bench prior to retracting all his statements today on Twitter.
To be honest with you, I look at the direction in which baseball's going, and I think it's the same thing over and over again. We saw it with before I was born, with cocaine in the mid-'80s, then the steroid era, then the juice ball era. One thing that remains untalked about is therapeutic use exemptions. Certain players have them for things like HGH and other things. And then I started seeing the exact same thing happen with this sticky stuff. And I can't stand by and watch it happen again, where Major League Baseball points their fingers at, you know, the likes of, I know he's not the most popular guy in Houston, but the likes of Trevor Bauer, the likes of Gerrit Cole, and says, hey, it's your guy's fault. Or puts the onus on an individual team like they did with the Astros and the sign stealing stuff. And I just couldn't stand by and watch it happen again. And I said, you know what, I've had enough. And I decided to come forward with the information that I have, the information that I got from several different players.
Nick, quick question for you after hearing that. Did he sound adamant?
At first?
I don't think at first.
In that particular clip, that probably clip. Not as much, no.
I think he did. I think did he said
not as much as the MLB and the I didn't care what Passan thinks.
Well, right, and I you could go on further, but my point being, that's not a guy that sounded like he was leery of maybe
losing
being called
job.
Out yeah. or leery of like people questioning whether it was made up or not. He said he had several players as sources. He went on with some of the other things that Nick was talking about, some of the other quotes made about, I don't care if Jeff Passan gets mad at me or Major League Baseball gets mad at me. I don't care if Rob Manfred gets mad at me. I don't think you say those things if you're just spitting in the wind, making things up. So the fact that we covered all of this yesterday with his tweets, when he named 15, I think, teams that cheated with sign stealing, when he called out players by name, and called out teams and video rooms and multiple different situations. So to that level, the bench savvy move, veteran move with John and Lance and Dell, got him on this morning to where that's where the quote came from that Nick played, to where he backed everything up yet again. So you're finally thinking to yourself, baseball is finally going to have to do what they have been against doing from the get-go, which is clean up the sport, punish everyone, and name names and call out teams. And then right before we went on the air, Ryan Spader tweeted the following. I deeply regret everything that I said. It has turned my life upside down. It was a mistake, and I should not have reported on unfounded allegations. I sincerely apologize to all those that impacted. It should not have happened. It won't. It will not happen again. Stick to stats.
God, that's... I mean,
that
he went,
sounds like a guy, like a parent that just punished the hell out of you.
Yeah, you got grounded.
Yep.
You got grounded. He went from 110 miles an hour to about school zone speed. You
to
know
no
I mean?
Allowance and having to do extra chores.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm you know, now you've gotten me all pissed off again.
I didn't mean to do that at the end of the show, but I figured playing the clips was worth it considering he retracted the statement. I feel like a lot of these clips are kind of null and void, and I get that.
Can you guess the one quote that really got me the most fired up? In a happy way?
Out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. Future of baseball, didn't care about Passan. Yeah, that has
play
to...
that one again, please, because golly, I was fired up.
I don't really care if, and you know, he's a great dude, Jeff Passan. Great, great guy. Very good
though?
Dude. But I don't care if he's pissed off at me. I don't care if Rob Manfred's pissed off at me. It doesn't really matter that much to, you know, to my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And, I think because of that, I was maybe a little bit more willing to come forward with some of the information that you know that I shared.
All that to say that you're back and walking it all back. It just sounds like he was too convincing, and he was adamant, and he believed in everything that he was saying, and there was conviction, and all of a sudden, right as we go on the air, he pulls the plug.
As we live in a social media era, he thought this story was going to get big. But in his mind, it's one thing when a story goes viral and you get a whole bunch of retweets, likes, and quote tweets, and then you don't get any phone calls from any superiors. It's a completely different dynamic when you know it's going viral, and then right after you post and publish everything, that you're getting phone calls from Major League Baseball, former players.
He got browbeat.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I was saying in the first hour when we discussed this. It's not just him not getting credentials or not getting access to games. It's beyond that. It's the relationships that he's been able to develop over the years with coaches, current coaches, players, former players, analysts, anybody that breaks news, anybody that has inside access.
But don't you think those people want what we want too? I get it. We're in Houston. We're in the middle of all this. We're at the epicenter of the cheating. So we want justice. But don't you think that just... Evidently, Charlie, who's a big baseball aficionado, wasn't going to touch this story.
Well, he didn't. It did. To his defense, I will say this. He's not a guy that goes deep into topics that pop off during the show. He's just not. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
But this is 2 days in a row.
He mentioned it in the last segment of the day before, but it wasn't a long mention.
I got to believe if I'm really as passionate as it seems that Ryan Spader was, no matter what baseball said to me that may have threatened me in some way, shape, or form, if I believe that I have all these people that I know in baseball, and they believe, like I believe, that it's in the good of the game, it's for the good of the game in cleaning it up by doing this, that they weren't going to jump ship on him just by being the whistleblower.
Yeah, I'm so interested in what he was told. He was texted. Who called him?
I don't think you're ever going to know.
Who sent him an email? Because he was probably communicated with in all forms of communication. Like, he's probably got texts, emails, calls, messages.
And scare tactics come a lot of different ways. For all the teams he mentioned, they all have legal counsels. They all probably sent cease and desist. They all made threats to say, you continue to do this and we'll have you do that or do this or do that. So, I mean, I am curious. I don't think we'll ever know. But I am very disappointed that Ryan Spader is not the hero we all needed. With that being said, the heroes that you will get will be Fred, AJ, and Aaron, and they're coming up next. You guys have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the Heights Hotel. It is the Press Box, ESPN.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.